This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in worship. Many people today wrestle with the uncertainty of what happens after death. And as a result of not being able to wrap their minds around this uncertainty, they become very uncomfortable whenever the subject of death is brought up. And this is something that even Christians are having problems with. Remember the other time I shared with you that I have a Christian friend who will not discuss the issue of life insurance with his wife. And she called me several times and asked me to go and convince him that he needs to have life insurance. And mind you, this is a guy who serves as deacon in the church. So this is how serious it gets. Well, from our Lord's word found in Luke 16 this morning, regarding Lazarus and the rich man, we can see that it is a subject worth talking about. There is a need to talk about it because far too many people today have been blinded by the axiom that says there is only one life to live. And so they live on earth like truly there is only one life to live. And so Jesus refutes this idea this morning in our gospel text. The story legitimizes the importance of us placing our trust and hope in God through His Son Jesus Christ for eternal life. Why? Because this story establishes the fact that our final destiny is determined by the kind of life we live here on the earth. Because in this story, we find two categories of people who represents the two group of people that are living on the earth today. And this is what Jesus is showing to us, a rich man and a poor man. The one with God and the other without God. The story is not really about a rich man and a poor man, because if you look at the fact that there is a rich man in the story and a poor man in the story, we also know that we have the middle class. So God is not really looking at the idea of someone being rich or being poor, but these were the two people that was in the story. The main idea in the story is to let us know that there are people on the earth, only two categories of people, and the one is those with God, and the other are those groups that are without God. The next thing to understand in the story is that our existence begins here on this earth, but it doesn't end here. In other words, when a man dies, his life does not come to an end at death. All right? So life begins on this earth, but life doesn't end here. The next thing to remember while we go through this story today is that this story is not a parable, but apparently it's a true event that occurred somewhere in history. Because the reason I say that is because Jesus is using a name, Lazarus. So it tells you that this story is a true story that truly happened somewhere in history. So, just in case you have been one of those who were skeptical about eternity, yeah, it is. Jesus is saying it is real. There is not one life to live, but rather there is an eternal life to live. All right? There is not one life to live, but rather there is an eternal life to live. And Jesus is making this clear. So now, in order to trust the validity of this story, one must first believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe Jesus to believe all of this. If you don't believe Jesus, you won't believe the words that are coming out of his mouth. So he says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, he says, believe also in me. All right? Because I come from where God is. And I am God's dear son. And the message that I bring to you is from God. This passage is one of contrast. A picture is painted here of some of the differences between a lost man and a saved man. There are three primary areas where these contrasts are plainly visible in the story. And by God's grace, I want to point those areas out today as we continue on in the sermon titled From Here to Eternity. From here to eternity. Life does not end on this earth, but it's from here to eternity. The first thing we want to look at is the contrast in the earthly experience. The contrast in the earthly experience. Look in Luke 16, verses 19 through 21, and it reads, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores all over him, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores." So looking at the contrast in this earthly, in their earthly experience, the first thing we see is there is one man who lived a bountiful life. He enjoyed the best life had to offer and lived for himself the whole time he was on the earth. He lived for the now. Just like we say, there is one life to live. We have this one man who is living his life for the now. All right? He's living for himself. I want to pass a note here. The note is, there is nothing wrong about having earthly riches. God is not against us having earthly riches. But what is wrong about this is when we live our lives for it. When we are living for those riches, then it becomes a problem. The story is told about a rich man who says to his wife, he says, "Look, when I die, I will want you to put $400,000 in my casket. You make sure that I leave this earth with $400,000 of my money." And the lady said, "Yes, I will." So her friend listened in on this conversation, came to her and asked her, "Will you really give him $400,000? She said, "Well, he asked for it. I'm going to give it to him." So the rich man died, and the wife went ahead and wrote a check for $400,000 and put it in his casket. All right? And so the point is, he can't cash the money. But you cannot leave or depart this earth with your riches. It was meant to be used here. But then it becomes a problem when we worship those things, since they were only given to us for time. The next thing is, the other man lived a burdened life. One man lived a bountiful life. The next man lived a burdened life. While the rich man prospered, Lazarus suffered daily. He couldn't afford medical insurance, so he was sick and couldn't go to the hospital. But notice that the burdened man was the blessed man in the story. He was the blessed man. He didn't have medical insurance, but he had eternal assurance. And this is the difference, my friends. Jesus Christ makes it clear to us in this life that in this world you will have trouble. But he says, "I have overcome the world." And that overcoming has to do with the fact that he went on the cross and died to give us eternal life. That's the overcoming, that the life that we have after this life is more than anything you can think of or imagine. Lazarus had that peace. Now, many of us in this life that would never get rich and have enough to do the things we want to do in life. But I come to tell you this, that godliness, all right, is contentment. When we have godliness, we have contentment. And whatever God has given to us, we learn to live within that means. But the glorious thing that we have is the eternal life that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Lazarus had that. The songwriter writes, "You can have this whole world, but just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. He's better than anything. He's sweeter than anything. He's the best thing that anyone can ever ask for. He's the best thing that anyone can ever have. That's Jesus Christ." All right? And so he says, "Give me Jesus, take the world." Why? Because this world and its glory is passing away, my friends. It is fading away. Someday, it's all going to be gone. It's going to be ashes. All right? But those who have Jesus Christ are those who are going to experience true eternal life. So we looked at the contrast in the earthly experience. Now let's look at the contrast in their exit experience. Look in Luke 16, 22. It reads, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, since the two men in this story represents the two classes of people living on the earth, then we can now agree that all of us will exit this earth at some point. And this is the common place where we all become even up, is at the grave. Because every person that is living on the earth, no matter how rich you are, no matter the class that you find yourself in, no matter the country that you were born in, all of us at some point will meet at the grave. That's the common place that everybody's going to meet. So the rich man died and he went to the grave, and Lazarus died and was carried to the grave. But look at the contrast in their death. One man's death was lonely. When a man dies without God, he or she enters a state of eternal loneliness. Listen to this. He enters a state of eternal loneliness from the very second of death. In other words, there is no one on the other side that is going to comfort him. There is no encouragement. There is no help when you enter into eternity without God. All right? And this is a very important but scary thing to think about. He's cut off from the living and he's cut off from the dead. All right? You stand on your own two feet and you have to deal with the circumstances that you meet up with when you enter into eternity. There is no help. There is no consolation on that side. Look at what it says in Revelation 14, 11. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And there will be no rest day or night. There will be no rest day or night. People are going to be in such agony that they won't have time enough to be thinking about relationship. You're thinking about you and thinking about the stuff that you have to deal with on a daily basis. This is a very serious situation here that we're looking at. It was all about self while he was on the earth, and now it is all about self when you are in hell. That's how it is. You live for self, you die for self. And so this is how scary it is. The advice that I have for all of us this morning, the advice that I have is this: do not live for self. Do not live for self. And the reason why we can't, because it profits nothing. Self profits nothing, according to Jesus' own words in John 6, 36. He says it, that the flesh profits nothing. The flesh came from the ground, and to the dust it shall return. It profits nothing. And that's why Jesus came, to save our souls from out of that eternal damnation and give us the life that we need in Jesus Christ. So the other man's death, one man's death is lonely. The other man's death is lovely. Look, when one dies with God, he or she enters a state of eternal loveliness. That's what it is. He enters that state of eternal loveliness. Saints who die in God do not leave this earth alone. They're taken into Abraham's bosom, according to this Bible. It means they are attended to by angels, and you're led into heaven by God. This is how important this is. So we find in Proverbs 14:32, when calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God. All right, Philippians 1:23 says, Paul says, I'm torn between two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. You see that? And Paul is writing this because of the experience he had when he left earth and went into the third heavens. And when he got there, the Bible says he saw things that he himself could not explain. All right? So he comes back from this whole scene, All right? This whole experience. And he comes back to earth and he writes in one of his letters. He says, eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard of the things that God has in store for us in heaven. So Paul is saying that he longs to be with God in heaven, to be with Jesus Christ. It is because of what he saw. All right? The experience is something that you cannot compare to anything on the earth. There is no comparison on the earth to what God has laid out for us in heaven. So Paul says, I'm desirous of being there, of being in heaven. It is better being there than being here. And I wish all Christians had that kind of mindset. All right? And that's what the Bible says. We should set our eyes on heaven and not on the things below. So we look at the contrast in the earthly experience. We look at the contrast in the exit experience. Lastly, let's look at the contrast in the eternal experience. That's found in Luke 16, verses 23 through 31. So one man found pain in his eternal experience. The Bible says that the rich man went to hell when he died. Well, from all we know about that place, it is far more horrifying than we could ever imagine, the place called hell. There are a few things about hell I want to talk about. The first thing is it is a place of punishment, and it's found in Matthew 25, verse 41. And Jesus in this text talks about how this place has been prepared for the devil and the fallen angels. They are the reason God prepared this place, not for us. It was not prepared for mankind. But the devil said, I'm not going there alone. So he's stunting the lives of people and drawing them into this place, as many as he can get. And this is a serious issue that many of us don't know about, but hell is real. And people are dying in the thousands every day and are going into this place called hell, into this torment. God opened my eyes some time ago, several months ago, while I was praying for the young people in our church. I was praying to God at home in my bedroom that night and praying for the young people, because there is this spirit that is pulling young children away from God. So when they graduate from high school, they leave the church for some reason. They leave the church and forget about God and get all caught up into the cosmic system. And so I'm thinking about the thing. I'm burdened about it. I'm praying about it. And Jesus Christ says to me, God the Spirit talks to me and says, one of the problems, the people responsible for this are the parents. Parents are not doing their job. The scripture says, train up your child in the way he or she should go. And when he is old, listen, he will not depart from it. And God doesn't tell a lie. So when parents do the right thing, the children will grow up. It is not only the church's responsibility to train children to grow up in the Lord. It is parents' responsibility to do this as well. But so I'm praying for children and the young children. And then I went to sleep that night, had this dream. I had this dream, and I told you the dream some time ago. And then God picked me up from the earth, and I see myself flying through the sky. I'm going, oh, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm excited about this thing. I'm going to heaven. And I get into the middle of the clouds, and there are thousands of people going up at the same time with me. This was so exciting. And I look up above me, there's this big opening with the light coming out. I said, oh, look at heaven. I'm so close to heaven. I'm not thinking about anything about earth at this time. I'm so excited. I want to see this thing. And as I got closer to it, it got hotter and hotter. It was hell. It was not heaven. And people were going into this thing. And when I got closer, I was like, God, no, 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 this is not for me. And as I said that, God moved me onto the side, and there were stairways going up. And I took the steps and went up and entered into a dome. I entered into this big dome. And the dome had gates all around against the walls. And people were in there screaming and crying for their lives. And I couldn't do anything to help them. No one could do anything to help them. And I went past that scene, went to this open door, and was trying to get into the door. But the heat that was coming out was too much. I couldn't enter. And people were in there screaming for their lives. And I'm standing up in the middle of this big dome and saying, God, how am I going to get down? I don't belong here. And the moment I said that, I opened my eyes and was in my bed. And I went, thank God. But the point is, God took me in to see this, to let us know that hell is a real place. And people are going there every day. And this is a serious thing for the church to think about. And some of us are not speaking the gospel to the people we come in contact with, our friends, our family members, and the people that we know out there. We are not talking to them about the gospel. God wants us to tell them the reality of hell. The message, the gospel message is not, Jesus loves you, this I know. The message is more than that. The message is that there is a place called hell. There is a place that people are going and spending eternity. It is in the Word of God. And that Jesus came into this world to stop that. Many of us are wishing well for our families and friends, our children and all these people. We are wishing well for them. We don't want to see them hurt. We want to see them safe on this earth. And every time we hear about something bad happening to them, we visit them at the hospital. We visit them at their home. But friends, listen, there is a pending judgment that is worse than that. And that judgment is coming. And when those of us who have experienced this eternal life are sitting in heaven, you will be able to see your loved one, because Abraham saw the rich man in heaven. We will be able to see our loved ones there. And some of them would scream back at us, you knew this and you never said anything to me. Think about it. Think hard about it. God wants us to share the gospel. If you love people and you love souls, you need to tell them the truth. It's going to hurt and sometimes break the relationship. But the word has to be planted. And only us can do it. We need to go out and share what we have with the people we come in contact with. This is not a time to be sitting back. We see that this earth is coming to an end. This world is coming to an end someday. And one of these days, Jesus is going to show up, because he says it in his word, that when the end is coming, he says, wickedness will increase in the earth. And we are seeing it now. We're seeing it. The coming of Jesus is near. This is no time to be playing church. It's time to be grabbing people by the hands and pulling them in the house of God. This is the time to do it. You don't stand out there when your friend or you know someone who is about to jump in front of a big truck and kill themselves, and you're standing right next to them. You know they're about to do that. And you're going like, you know, I'm not going to pull him back. If I did, he's going to get upset. I'm just going to let him go. You wouldn't do that. You will pull him back. And this is time for us to pull back the people that we know, that we see making their way into hell. This is serious. And I wanted to take this message as serious as it comes this morning. So hell is a real place. It is not a place where people are going to go and have another Christmas party. No. It is a place where God himself dwells. No, sorry, I jumped in my message. It's a place of unquenchable fire, we said, and it's a place of memory and remorse. So the rich man is in there, and he's been reminded of the people that he left on the earth that he didn't speak to or don't know the word of God, just like himself. And he's asking Abraham to send Lazarus back to talk to them so that they won't go to this place of torment. And Abraham says to him, no, we have Moses the prophet, we have people there speaking the word. He said, no, they won't listen to them. If you send someone from the dead, they will listen. He says, if they don't listen to those who are there, they still won't listen, even if someone was risen from the dead. It is true. Why? Because Jesus was risen from the dead and they still didn't believe it. Right in their very eyes. And so this is true, my friends. We need to share the gospel with the people that we know. Don't sit and look at them going down into hell. Now, so one man found pain, another man found peace. While the rich man suffered, Lazarus was at rest. He was at rest. Listen, folks, everything hell heaven isn't. Heaven isn't. It is a place free from the cares and burdens of this life. It is a place of incomparable beauty. And you can find that in Revelation 21, verse 4. It is a place where God himself dwells and where his people will be able to see him face to face. We'll see God face to face. Revelation 21, 3, 22, 4. We see God face to face in heaven. And this is what we can't wait for. And lastly, it is a place where sin, Satan, and sinners are forever banished. They will never go there. There will be no more sin. There will be no more trouble because there will be no more sin. God is going to banish all those things from there in Revelation 21, 27. And lastly, it is the place we call home. See, your citizenship is not here on earth. It is not here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 is what it says. It is not here on the earth. All right? And so we don't put our trust in what is here. Every time you picture your life on earth, you need to see yourself as one that is at the airport in transit. We are in transit. We are waiting for that time when God is going to pick us up. And there will be this great big exit from the earth, going into the New Jerusalem. That's what we are waiting for as the church. That's the hope of the church. It is the reason we gather here week after week to encourage one another in our faith. Because we all know and believe that someday will come when we will be leaving this earth and the earth will be no more. Let us encourage one another. And let us encourage our friends and families about this truth and draw them back into faith. If you love them, this is what you would do. At this time, I ask us all to stand because all of us in this room, somehow, in some way, is guilty of this. We've come across people that we haven't spoken to about the Word of God. We get so caught up into the business and ethics of life on this earth, and we forget about the real thing. All of us have done this. This is the time. This is your time, this is my time to come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry because I didn't do what I should have done. And for those in the congregation this morning who have not experienced eternal life in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you to take it seriously. Take it seriously because everything that you have and everything that you are now, someday is going to pass away. What is going to last for eternity is the hope that we have in this one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead and now is forevermore. Let us pray right now, Lord God. We give your people to you this morning as your word has come forth. Our prayer is that, Lord, you will use these words of yours to bring life, peace, strength, and grace to the hearts of every person here in worship this morning. And everyone who is listening to us live stream, we pray, God, that you give us a reason to go out and be a light in a world that is dying. We pray, Father God, that your word would be sowed on good grounds and that as we leave from here today, God, we will go out and spread the message with those we come in contact with. Give us the grace to do that. Give us the passion to do that. We pray all this in the loving name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Please be seated.